Better for me if you were devouring all my treasure, all my cattle. If you were the ones, we'd make amends in no time. We'd approach you for reparations round the town, demanding our goods till you'd returned the lot. But now look, you load my heart with grief. There's nothing I can do. Filled with anger, down on the ground he dashed the speaker's scepter, bursting into tears. Pity seized the assembly. All just sat there, silent. No one had the heart to reply with harshness. Only Antinous, who found it in himself to say, "So high and mighty, Telemachus, such unbridled rage! Well now, fling your accusations at us, think to pin the blame on us, you think again. It's not the suitors here who deserve the blame, it's your own dear mother, the matchless queen of cunning. Look here, for 3 years now, getting on to 4, she's played it fast and loose with all our hearts, building each man's hopes, dangling promises, dropping hints to each, but all the while with something else in mind. This was her latest masterpiece of guile. She set up a great loom in the royal halls, and she began to weave, and the weaving fine-spun, and the yarns endless, and she would lead us on. Young men, my suitors, now that King Odysseus is no more, go slowly, keen as you are to marry me, until I can finish off this web, so my weaving won't all fray and come to nothing. This is a shroud for old Lord Laertes, for that day when the deadly fate that lays us out at last will take him down. I dread the shame my countrywomen would heap upon me, yes, if a man of such wealth should lie in state without a shroud for cover. Her very words, and despite our pride and passion, we believed her. So by day she'd weave at her great and growing web, by night, by the light of torches set beside her, she would unravel all she'd done. 3 whole years she deceived us blind, seduced us with this scheme. Then when the wheeling seasons brought the 4th year on, one of her women, in on the queen's secret, told the truth, and we caught her in the act, unweaving her gorgeous web. So she finished it off, against her will. We forced her. Now, Telemachus, here is how the suitors answer you. You bear it in your mind, you and all our people, send your mother back. Direct her to marry whomever her father picks, whoever pleases her. So long as she persists in tormenting us, quick to exploit the gifts Athena gave her, a skilled hand for elegant work, a fine mind, and subtle wiles too, we've never heard the like, not even in old stories sung of old Achaea's well-coiffed queens who graced the years gone by, Messene crowned with garlands, Tyro and Alcmena. No one could touch Penelope for intrigue. But in this case she intrigued beyond all limits. So we will devour your worldly goods and wealth as long as she holds out, holds to that course the gods have charted deep inside our heart. Great renown she wins for herself, no doubt, great loss for you in treasure. We'll not go back to our old estates or leave for other parts, not till she weds the Argive man she fancies. But with calm good sense Telemachus replied, "Antinous, how can I drive my mother from our house against her will, the one who bore me, reared me too? My father is worlds away, dead or alive, who knows? Imagine the high price I'd have to pay Icarius, if all on my own I send my mother home. For what I would suffer from her father, and some dark god would hurt me even more when mother, leaving her own house behind, calls down her withering furies on my head. And our people's cries of shame would hound my heels. I will never issue that ultimatum to my mother. And you, if you have any shame in your own hearts, you must leave my palace. See to your feasting elsewhere. Devour your own possessions, house to house by turns. But if you decide the fare is better, richer here, destroying one man's goods and going scot-free, all right then, carve away. But I'll cry out to the everlasting gods in hopes that Zeus will pay you back with a vengeance, all of you, destroyed in my house while I go scot-free myself." And to seal his prayer, far-seeing Zeus sent down a sign. He launched 2 eagles, soaring high from a mountain ridge, and down they glided, borne on the wind's draught a moment, wing to wing-tip, pinions straining taut, till just above the assembly's throbbing hum they whirled. Suddenly, wings thrashing, wild onslaught of wings, and banking down at the crowd's heads a glaring, fatal sign. Talons slashing each other, tearing cheeks and throats, they swooped away on the right through homes and city. All were dumbstruck, watching the eagles trail from sight, people brooding.